Drew Pearson, the man who predicted March 15th that Wesley Roberts would resign as chairman of the Republican National Committee, and who nearly 2 years ago revealed how some Greek ship owners were misusing vessels given them by us.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Pearson. First, the most important news of the day, what's behind the Kremlin's olive branch in Korea. I can report that orders have gone out to our intelligent agents from the State Department to find this out. Frankly, the State Department doesn't know. My own personal opinion is that Malenkov is out to split our British and French allies away from us with various insincere moves for peace. It would be a wonderful thing if, as we approach Easter, the ideals that Christ gave his life for could be achieved. But I'm afraid that the strategy I predicted after Stalin's death is now coming true, namely, that the Kremlin is talking peace out of one side of the mouth while still preparing for war. Now some short but important news items. London, Prime Minister Churchill is again talking about retiring. The death of so many of his old friends and now Queen Mary has depressed him. Churchill would quit today, except he wants to go out in a blaze of glory after attending a final Big Three meeting with Stalin. He told a friend last week, however, that if a Big Three meeting isn't called soon, he will quit anyway. Tokyo, General Mark Clark will send UN officers to Panmunjom Monday or Tuesday to work out plans for exchanging sick and wounded prisoners. New York, Senator Toby has discovered the man who has replaced Frankie Costello as boss of the New York underworld, Tony Bender. He'll be cross-examined Wednesday about income taxes. Clarksboro, New Jersey. Amos Peasley, the man who prosecuted the Black Tom explosion after World War I, is slated to be Eisenhower's new ambassador to Australia. Washington, Arthur Gardner, former aide to Secretary of the Treasury Snyder, is slated to be the new ambassador to Cuba. The White House, Frank Landsberg of Portland, Oregon, is being considered as the next member of the Interstate Commerce Commission, part of Ike's promise to give more ICC representation to the trucking industry. Landsberg is a top transportation expert. New York. The reason the Greek shipowners made their quick deal with Senator McCarthy was because the Maritime Administration had discovered a loophole in their contracts by which many of these ships could be recaptured by us. I urge that this be done regardless of the McCarthy deal. These ships have made millions at the expense of the taxpayer, and let's get them back and keep them. The White House exclusive. Well, President Eisenhower tried to lecture French Premier Maillard this week, but wound up getting rebuked by the Frenchman in turn. Eisenhower had told the Prime Minister that the American people just couldn't understand all the fuss that France was making about the Saar Valley. After all, said Ike, the Saar is no bigger than half of one county in Texas. At this, Premier Maillard bristled. Finally, he replied very deliberately, "It is not the size of the Saar Valley that is important, but the fact that the Saar is to become the capital of the United States of Europe. You cannot compare it to half a county in Texas. The French regard it as Americans regard the District of Columbia." Well, Eisenhower changed the subject. In the end, the talks with France went fairly well. Behind the scenes on Capitol Hill, exclusive and copyrighted, Henry Grunewald, the mystery man, revealed behind closed doors that it was Senator Bridges of New Hampshire who got him involved in the $7 million income tax case of Hyman Klein, the Baltimore liquor dealer. Grunewald said he didn't know Klein, that Bridges asked him to help out in this tax fraud case. But even more amazing, Senator Bridges also introduced Grunewald to John L. Lewis's lawyer, who paid him $16,000 to investigate the late Judge Goldsboro, a federal judge. This was when Judge Goldsboro was considering the famous strike injunction case against the United Mine Workers, one of the most important strikes in recent history. Yet, a U.S. senator helped arrange to have a detective investigate the federal judge at that time. Now, what Washington is buzzing about. The whisper that General Al Grunther, Ike's ex-chief of staff, has come home to replace General Omar Bradley or General Collins. Actually, I can report that Grunther will go back to Paris. Also, Washington is buzzing and laughing about the story of the rabbit. The rabbit was running all out of breath when it met a squirrel. The squirrel asked why it was running so hard. "Haven't you heard?" asked the rabbit. "Senator McCarthy is investigating the antelopes, and I don't want to be investigated." "But you're not an antelope," said the squirrel. "That's right," said the rabbit, "but how can I prove it?" Well, here are four news items that certain people won't like and which illustrate why it's difficult for some commentators to say on the air. Number one, the Joint Chiefs of Staff have sent President Eisenhower four alternative moves in the Korean War. Now, in the case of Harry Truman, they didn't give alternatives because Truman was not a military man and was not supposed to decide as between different military moves. But in the case of Eisenhower, who spent his entire life in the Army, and went to Korea last December, the Joint Chiefs have left the final decision up to him. It has now been nearly 2 months since these alternatives were given to the Commander-in-Chief, and 4 months since certain pre-election promises were made, but still no decision regarding the next move in Korea. Item number 2, from Fresno, California, exclusive. When Senator Nixon, now the Vice President, used a private fund for his expenses, he apparently started a trend. For Homer Jameson, a Fresno sawmill operator, is raising another so-called Nixon fund. For Congressman Alan Hunter of California, also a Republican, Jameson has collected over $2,000 to help pay Hunter's political expenses. He assured my office that he is not accepting more than $10 from any single contributor. However, other congressmen still think this private fund idea is bad. For a congressman must represent his entire district, not just the people who put up a private fund for him. Item number 3. It is now impossible to buy a copy of the Senate Elections Committee report on Senator McCarthy, the most devastating report on a senator ever issued by a Senate committee. The Eisenhower administration, so bitterly opposed by McCarthy now, could have the Justice Department act on this report, or it could reprint copies. Since it hasn't, and since the general public can't get this report, I can say that the book McCarthy by Jack Anderson and Ronald May, on sale at most bookstores, also contains the same relatively amazing facts on McCarthy. Item number 4, the Justice Department exclusive. After many months of debate, the Justice Department has finally decided to prosecute another congressman for kickbacks. He is Ernest Bramblett of Pacific Grove, California. For full details, see the Washington merry-go-round tomorrow. Some things that I haven't reported as fully as I might. Recently, on one occasion, a radio engineer in New York was instructed to stand by ready for a network reply to me. But I do hope to be very frank and also very fair when I broadcast next Sunday by transcription, not over a network. In closing this last network broadcast, I'd like to thank Carter Products and Mr. Harry Hoyt, its president, personally, for their very fine cooperation, and also the American Broadcasting Company, with which I have worked ever since it began, for their help to me on the friendship train and the tide of toys with the American Legion, and the friendship balloon messages to Czechoslovakia, and the Make Democracy Live letters to Italy, and many other projects that we've worked on that I've been able to talk about over this network. There's some fine people at ABC, and I shall miss them. I've offered to work for ABC for virtually nothing until we could find a new sponsor, but under the new management, Paramount Theaters, my offer was turned down. So anyway, many thanks for your fine support of the past. I'll be back in a minute with predictions of things to come.
Predictions that have proved 83% accurate.
Well, I was hoping to give a prediction tonight as to whether the White House would finally crack down on Senator McCarthy. There's been a lot of discussion inside the White House on this, and also a certain amount of confusion. Next week, I will give a definite prediction about the outcome of this secret White House debate. I want to thank more than 100 radio station managers and local sponsors who have so quickly arranged an independent transcribed outlet for me next Sunday. I'm not sure the station, the exact time I'll be on next Sunday or the exact station, but you can call your local stations to find out. Now, some brief but important predictions. Number 1, I predict that Mayor Fletcher Bowron of Los Angeles, a great mayor, will be reelected despite the opposition of the real estate lobby. Number 2, I predict that Reynolds Metals Company, which has been getting dirt cheap bargain electric rates from Arkansas Power and Light, will have those rates increased by authority of the government. And now a prediction of good news for my momentary ABC boss, Paramount Theaters. During the past 5 years, television has forced 3,200 movie theaters to close. So to help the movie industry, I predict that Congress will repeal the luxury tax on motion picture tickets. Prediction number 5 or 4, who will be the next chairman of the Republican National Committee? Well, there's a lot of backstage battling to pick the successor to Wesley Roberts. Incidentally, I want to congratulate the Kansas newspapers for printing the facts in the Roberts case, despite that White House statement aimed at discouraging the Roberts investigation. And today, the Dewey wing of the Republican Party is very anxious to appoint ex-Congressman Leonard Hall of New York or McIntyre Ferries of Los Angeles, also a Dewey man. But the Taft Republicans are vigorously opposed. So I predict that ex-Senator Fred Seaton of Nebraska, a very fine newspaper publisher belonging to neither wing of the party, will become the new Republican chairman, provided he'll agree to serve. Now a personal message from me to you. Tonight, as many of you know, I am making my last broadcast over the American Broadcasting Company. Partings are always sad. Sometimes they're tinged with regret. Sometimes they carry a bitter note. I'm not bitter. I am determined to continue broadcasting, to report the real news, the unvarnished truth, to call the shots as I see them. This I have sincerely tried to do since the day I wrote my first news story, since the day I broadcast my first radio program. This I am charged to do, bound to do. It is my obligation and my duty as an American and a newspaper man. Next Sunday night, I begin broadcasting by transcription, not over a network. Next Sunday, I shall tell the truth, relate the facts, as I have these many years, to help make democracy live.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson.